Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open up your word, may your Holy Spirit speak to us. Speak to us, Father, to our hearts, to our minds, so that we may lift Jesus up and people from all over the world can know that there is someone who loves them and who's coming soon to take us home. We pray this in his precious name. Amen. I was talking with Brother Ferguson this week. We were at the table, eating some very good food prepared by Mrs. Cook and her daughters. And we were talking about how much our world has changed. And we were talking about things we have at home now. The phone. You know, it used to be that you would dial the phone. 1-6-1-9. You had to wait till it went back. And if you had one of those long extension cords, you could actually take your phone from the living room to the kitchen. And that was like, wow, that's really neat. We're talking about remote control. And the remote control used to be, son, go change the channel. Okay. Put the volume up. Okay, here we go. And if you had an antenna at home, sometimes it was, go outside, move the antenna. Can't see, move it back. That's how we used to get our signals. Things have changed, haven't they? And they continue to change. But change is not always easy. Change can be difficult. Sometimes we resist change. So how do we deal with it? And how can we make the best of it? I was going to school. And outside my dorm, I had the greatest view I think I'll ever have. Sometimes the clouds would come down so low on campus that you could think you could literally just step on them when you walked outside the dorm. Sometimes you were walking through those clouds. Sometimes the view was clear, and down below you saw this great lake, a city on one side and mountains on the other, a lake that would border two countries, France and Switzerland. And then the sun would start to set. And you would start seeing colors of yellow, purple, red, orange, bouncing in all directions, right in front of my eyes. Beautiful. And I had a friend who was a painter. And I kind of wanted to say, impress him a little bit. Say, look, look, look how creative is God. His paintings are changing constantly. They're new every second, every minute. And he stared and looked, and he looked at me, and then he said something that took me by surprise. So are you. No, I'm not changing. I'm the same. He didn't say anything. But deep inside, I knew that I was changing too. I was growing. I was experiencing life in a different way that day. The word revolution means change. It's a very loaded word. comes out in the news sometimes. It makes us think. The only thing I know about revolution is something my grandfather and great-grandmother lived in Mexico. 1910, they were in the Mexican Revolution. My grandfather was part of the resisting side of the revolution. He got called by the Mexican government, and so he became a medic. At age 15, he was out there. Grandma, or great-grandma, she was a cook for the soldiers. At age 15, in the city of Acapulco, my grandfather lost her mother in a battle. And he was all by himself. He never knew who his dad was, and now mom was gone. Talk about change. Change that affected millions of people. Now, something interesting that I didn't know, but I found out very soon, is that my wife's grandfather was also in the revolution. And he was on the other side of the revolution. Wow. He was a spy for a very famous general called Doroteo Arango, better known as Pancho Villa. Yes. His duty was to go into town, find out where the mayor lives, where the chief of police lives, and then Pancho Villa would ride in with his men into the city and just say, "Hi, we're taking over now." That changed the lives of millions of people in Mexico. As you know, my mother comes from Cuba, and they had a revolution, the Cuban Revolution. And in front of her eyes, things changed for millions of people in that country. But I want to set you at peace. Not every change is a revolution. You see, July 21 of 2006, I got married with Carolina in San Diego at the courthouse. July 30th, 2006, I married her again in Tijuana, Mexico, at the church. That is change, brothers and sisters. But it was not a revolution. It was not a revolution. So, Tim and Fanny, you will have God's blessings, and the transition into married life will be good for you. Amen? We're all praying. 9 months ago, we transferred our membership to Fallbrook. Carolina had been at her church for many, many years. I won't say how many. You'll find that's the only church she's been to. That's how long she's been at the San Diego, at the church. That was change. But it was not a revolution. We know that the Tobing family will be going to Colorado. And we will also be praying for them as they move to their new location. And Reza, who will be sharing with us this afternoon his experience from moving to Iran, bringing his family to America. That is a major change, brothers and sisters. Major. But it's not a revolution. Revolutions are bigger. They affect millions of people. They affect the views of many people, the way they live. And we know of such revolutionary figures that have changed the way we do things. Albert Einstein, Isaac Newton. They changed the way we see physical bodies, how we understand them. The Wright brothers, Graham Bell, inventing the airplane, the telegraph, the telephone. They changed the way we live, not just for us, but for millions of people. Martin Luther, John Calvin, they changed the way we read Scripture and we worship today. But no one compares to the one who came 2,000 years ago to tell us, to show us that God loves you. Amen? His name is Jesus. Jesus. He changed my life. He changed my parents' life. He changed my grandparents' life. He helped me see things in a different way. If you can open your Bibles with me to the scripture reading, which is found in John chapter 12, verse 32. How did he do it? Was he a very popular man? A very powerful man? Was he a very intellectual man who wrote many books and articles? How did he bring about change to our world? And this is what he says about himself. John 12, verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Verse 33. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. People argue today that there's no way that God could have created this planet Earth in 7 days. There's no way. And they can bring out all their knowledge to prove their point. But there's something they cannot deny. And that it takes love for someone to give their life for another person. It takes love. And that is what Jesus came to share with us. He came to share God's love. Ellen G. White in Steps to Christ says, nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness, not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains all speak to us of the Creator's love. Amen? Now I hope that we do not forget. You see, people forget that in 1910, there was a revolution in Mexico. Wow, it's such a long time ago. Just live. Let's keep going. We forget. But Jesus has not forgotten. Amen? And he invites us to share the good news. The good news that God loves us and that he's coming soon. Revolutions don't only have to do with change, but they also have to do with movement. I don't know a lot about mechanics, but I did learn what RPM stands for. You know what it stands for? Revolutions per minute. And I hear that there's some bikes, some motorcycles that can go up to 1,400, 1,600 revolutions per minute. That's fast, isn't it? That's a lot of movement. That's a lot of heat. And one thing I did learn, Dad told me, about cars, not much, but he said, make sure there's oil in the motor. Make sure there's oil in the motor. Because when those pistons start moving, and they can move fast, it starts to produce heat. And if there's no oil in that motor, pretty soon you're going to see smoke. Lots of it. And before you know it, instead of moving, you'll be parking wherever it stopped. You'll stop. That motor will not handle it. He'll say, stop. In the Adventist movement, this church we love, has God given us his oil so that we can move in speed, so that we can tell the world quickly that he is coming? Yes, he's given us his Holy Spirit. Yes, he's granted it to us as a gift. Here, take of it. Pray for it. Use it. You're going to need it. You're going to come over here, and before you know it, you're going to bump with this person. Bonk. Uh-oh. Hi. You're going to need God's Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. If you have your Bibles, open it with me. And we will find what this Spirit can do. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruits of the Spirit. Very good. You're with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Against such thing there is no law. Newton's third law of motion. That says every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Doesn't work when God's Spirit is with us. Amen? That's the glue that holds us together as we move. It's His Spirit. And we need it. So that when we see somebody and we have to say something, we can say it in love. So that when somebody says something to us, we can be patient. So that when we look around and things aren't looking the way we thought they should, we could say, God, thank you. Even if we don't feel like it. Because God's Spirit is working in us. God's Spirit is working in us. This week, something really neat happened here at our church, and it's going to continue. I'm going to show you something that happened. We talked about it a little bit already, but now you get to see it. These are some pictures from the work that Kayam did at the house down below where Jewel lives. And here we have, and we're just going to keep sliding them through. That was a fence they were painting. Some were playing, others are drinking water. 24, 25 young people coming together for a whole week to learn about God, but above all, to share Him. Does that take love, brothers and sisters? They left their homes for a whole week. They came together to work, to pray, to help, to sing. And I saw once again that our young people can do, with a little bit of guidance and a little bit of patience, great things for our God. Amen? I felt I was in the mission field for a whole week. Right, Brother Ferguson? And right here, right in our backyard, I was. We were doing something for somebody else. And a lot of times we think we have to be a pastor or we need to know a lot about certain things or we have to be in a position of power in order to bring change. But that's not the case. Each one of us can bring about change in someone's life, and that change can make the difference for that person. Amen? Well, you still see the pictures. I'll tell you about a story I read in a newspaper. Happened in the year 2006. A man from Panama City went to shop at a little store that was down the street. And at this store, he bought a 55-cent tube of toothpaste. And for some reason, he grabbed it and he started to read this case. On that case, he found the words diethylene glycol. I don't know exactly what that is, but I know it's part of antifreeze. It's not good for you. It's sweet, but it's not good for you. And some people in his country had gone to the hospital. Some had died, over 100, just the year before. And when he read those words, he said, wow, this is in this toothpaste. I better let somebody know about this. This could be dangerous. I'm going to go tell the authorities, but I'm sure they know about this, don't they? You know, they should check. They check this stuff all the time before it gets on the market. Well, let me go. So he grabbed his little toothpaste, went out to the health office, presented it, and the person read. He said, yeah, that's what it says there. But you know what? This is the wrong place. I'm sorry. You have to go to the other office that is in this other location. And he said, well, could you take it? He says, oh, no, I'm busy right now, so I'm sorry, I can't take it. Wow, okay. So there he goes, gets in the bus, drives to this other office. Gets there, there's a long line of people, too, with complaints and things they need to share with the health department. And he waits and waits and gets to the front again, and there's the person, sees it, and says, wow, yeah, it does say that, but it's not here. It's on the other side of town. Could you take it? Oh, no, I'm too busy. He could have just stayed quiet, gone home that day and said, well, I'm not using that toothpaste. But he said, I'll go. And he got again on the bus and went across the town to this office, presented it, and the person said, wow, we hadn't noticed this. Thank you. And that man left and went home. He didn't know what had happened until a reporter for the New York Times decided he was going to find the man that had caused so much trouble on 6 different continents. You see, this toothpaste had gone to Japan, 180 million units of that toothpaste. It was here in the United States, being used in the prison system, being used in some health facilities, in some very fancy hotels. It was in Australia. It was in over 128 countries, and nobody had noticed. The reporter went on saying, "A little butterfly in Panama beat her wings and created a storm in the rest of the world." His name, I think, is important to mention. He's a 51-year-old Kuna Indian from Panama City, Eduardo Arias. Do we have a message to share, brothers and sisters? It's not a message of death, is it? It's a message of life, an important message, a message that can revolutionize our world today. But we need to share it. We need to tell others. We need to go out and say, God loves you. And he loves you, and show it with random works of kindness, with a smile, with a hug. We need to tell the world that Jesus loves us. We need to tell the world that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, who? Whosoever, who? Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? Are we ready to continue this revolution? It's not done. And it won't be done until Jesus comes again. Amen.